Morning. This morning we're going to be kind of in an odd place that you may think may be odd, but if you'll turn to Psalm chapter 22, we're going to be in Psalms today. Psalm chapter 22 is a psalm that is reflected in the New Testament. This morning I read for you from Mark chapter 15. And it was intentional that I picked those sets of scriptures, not just because it describes Jesus's death, but also because of some specific things that are written there. Jesus is crucified on a Friday. It's a horrible, horrible thing. Our term excruciating, it was created to describe crucifixion. Excruciating literally means from the cross, from crucifixion. It was so bad they created a new term for it. And Jesus suffers that, and he's nailed to the cross at 9 in the morning, and at noon the skies go dark. Then at 3 o'clock, Jesus proclaims this statement. And the statement is often understood as the idea that God has forsaken Jesus. Jesus proclaims, my God, why have you forsaken me? But I think there's much more going on in that text, much more going on in that story, much more meaning behind Jesus saying, my God, why have you forsaken me, than just a proclamation that he feels alone. You see, you have to understand rabbinic tradition and what it meant to be a rabbi and a teacher of those days. And what they would often do in their teaching, they would quote portions of the Old Testament, but it was meant to remind the hearer of the entire text. Matter of fact, Paul does this in the New Testament as well. He will reference Abraham, and he will reference Sarah, and he will reference Hagar at different portions of his letter. But really, it's for us to hear those and remember what happens in the Old Testament. Maybe even for us as illiterate people, go back and read those passages to understand what Paul is connecting them to. But in a society where people did not have a Bible in their hand, they had the Bible in their heart. They heard, my God, why have you forsaken me? And they don't think, oh, Jesus is alone. They think Psalm 22. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to take Psalm 22 and show you some of the parallels that we see in Jesus' crucifixion. But really, I want us to end up where I think Jesus wants us to end up this morning. So what I want to do is I want to take us through Psalm 23. It's kind of a long psalm. I'm going to read a portion of it right now and make some observations and pull out some things that we can find in the context there, and then we'll end where I think Jesus wants us to end. So here's what Psalm 22 has to say, and I'll read through verse 21. It says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from my deliverance and from my words of groaning? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, yet I have no rest. But you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted you. They trusted, and you rescued them. They cried to you, and you set them free. They trusted in you, and were not disgraced. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by people. Everyone who sees me mocks me. They sneer and they shake their heads. He relies on the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let the Lord deliver him, since he takes pleasure in him. You took me from the womb, making me secure while at my mother's breast. I was given over to you at birth. You have been my God from my mother's womb. Do not be far from me, because distress is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. They open their mouths against me. Lions mauling and roaring. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are disjointed. My heart is like wax melting within me. My strength is dried up like baked clay. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You put me into the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. A gang of evildoers has closed in on me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People look and stare at me. They divide my garments among themselves and they cast lots for my clothing. But you, Lord, don't be far away. My strength, come quickly to help me. Deliver my life from the sword, my only life from the power of these dogs. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have searched me, or you have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. This is a psalm written by David. And David is in a bad place in his life. David is in a tough place. There are people who are mocking him. They're laughing at him. They're saying, "Who's your God? I thought you had a good God who loved you, who took care of you." Yet he is dehydrated and malnourished. He's surrounded by enemies who are ready to pounce. And David, I am almost sure, without knowing what's going on in his own life, writes a psalm that will reflect what happens to Jesus later on. And so what I want to do is I want to walk us through this psalm, and I want us to see that we too go through these times and how we should end. The first thing that I want us to see is that we suffer. First part, David says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from me?" And David feels that God is far from his situation. David feels like God doesn't hear him anymore. David feels like God's mouth is mute to him. How often have you felt that way? That you're in this place in life and you cry out to God and it feels like your prayers hit the roof and fall down. That you're in a situation where you need strength, where you need renewal, where you just need a supernatural help, and you pray and it feels like your prayers go nowhere. And in that situation, David declares, "Why have you forsaken me? why are you so far from me? Why don't you hear me? And on the cross, Jesus, in a position that no one wants to be in, dehydrated, starving, beaten, mocked over and over again, laughed out. I thought you were a man of God. Let's just sit back and watch to see if God comes rescue him. And Jesus, in this situation, proclaims, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" Spent the whole night praying that there might be a different way. But I'm going to follow your will. I'm going to do what you want me to do. But I feel like you're far. And Jesus has the same question for God that David does. But notice, the question does not end there. Again, Jesus says these words to remind everyone around them to go back and to think about the whole part of the psalm. So let's not leave it there. Let's go on to the rest of the psalm. David remembers God's faithfulness. And so, like David, we too should remember. David says, you rescued our ancestors. You heard them. You heard their cry and you set them free. A lot of times when we are in these places where we are beat down and we are cast away and we wonder where God is, sometimes we just need to stop and remember. Remember that if we felt that way before, God has brought us through. We remember God's faithfulness. We remember God's goodness. We remember God's kindness. We remember his mercy. We remember his grace. And David says, God, I feel alone, but I know you've never left me. God, I feel like I am estranged from you, but I know you've rescued me in the past. So David remembers, he says, but you're holy. But you're holy, and I'm going to remember what you said. Our ancestors trusted you. You set them free. And Jesus on the cross, again, points us to Psalms 22 and says, I feel alone, but remember, God is faithful. I feel estranged, but remember, God is gracious. I don't want to be in this situation, but remember, God has mercy. So David teaches us. David shows us, and Jesus proclaims that truth that we may struggle or we may suffer, but we need to remember. And then you notice David is going to go on and tell us what his struggle is. So in the midst of us feeling that we are suffering, in the midst of us understanding that God is still faithful, know this, we still struggle. There's still times in our life where we don't want to do what we have to do, where we don't want to walk through this process, where we don't want to go through this. We don't want to have to pay these bills. We don't want to have to go through this relationship. We don't want to break up when things are going on. We don't want to have to find a new job. We don't want to go through this struggle. We don't want to go through when people attack us, when people talk bad about us. We don't want those things. But in the midst of that, we still go through them. We still have to walk through those times. And David describes his struggle. He says, man, I'm surrounded. These people are like wild dogs. They're like bulls. They're ready to pounce. They're like a lion that's mauling and growling, and he just wants to devour me. And they mock me and they laugh at me. They take my clothes. My bones are out of joint. My heart wants to melt. My tongue is stuck to the roof of my mouth. I am so thirsty. You can't help but read Matthew 15 and say, wow. Look at the parallels. Jesus is surrounded by his enemies. He's surrounded by Romans who have put him to death. He is surrounded by people who are mocking him. He is surrounded by chief priests and scribes who are just goading him, making fun of him as he dies publicly, horrifically. And they say, ha, where's your God? You helped other people, help yourself. The guy next to him, dying the same kind of death, begins mocking him as well. He's surrounded by this. They've taken his clothes off, and the soldiers have cast lots. They've played dice, so to speak, to who gets the clothes. Jesus is thirsty. He's been beaten so bad, he literally can probably count his bones. It's amazing what David writes centuries before is fulfilled not only in David's life, but in the life of Jesus. He's poured out. He's exhausted. His bones are out of joint. His clothes have been stolen. He has no strength. His struggles are real. And your struggles are real. They may not be this bad. They may not kill you. You may feel like they will. But you may feel like you are surrounded by enemies, mocking you, taking things from you, laughing at you, depriving you of things. You can't sleep. You can't eat. You feel like you're surrounded by these dogs that are snapping at you, waiting to be mauled by some lion or rushed by some bull. And you're just like, God, help. I'm suffering here. I'm struggling here. I know you've been faithful in the past. And notice what David does. David gives a prayer. David prays. And so we should too. What's his prayer? His prayer is, oh God, be close to me. Oh God, be close. Be my protection. Be my strength. Be my help. I feel alone. I feel forsaken. His prayer is, be close. I feel a certain way, but I know you are faithful. I'm going through hardship. Father, be close. Jesus, on the cross, pours out his life, pours out a sacrifice to God for us. The book of Corinthians says that he who knew no sin became sin. And his life is given away. And his prayer, like David's, is be close to me. Father, be close. Don't abandon me. Don't leave me. I feel this way. I know you've been faithful, but be close. And notice how the psalm ends. And I think this is where Jesus wants our hearts and our minds to go. Is that the ending of the psalm, starting in verse 22, through the rest of it, is praise. It's praise. So even though we may struggle, even though we may suffer, even though we may feel that God is far away, we know He has been close and He has never left us. He has never forsaken us. We have prayed for God to give us strength. We've prayed for God to be close to us. The result is praise. The psalm is working from God, I feel alone, to you're worthy of praise. The situation is bad, but praise is going to come. God is worthy of worship. And I think that that is what Jesus is telling us from the cross. My situation is bad, but remember Psalm 22 ends with praise. My situation is horrible. I need strength. I need to be able to make it through. But don't worry, in the end, we're going to praise Him. You may be struggling. You may have hardship. You may be about to die. But in the end, there's praise. And God deserves praise. And David goes from God, why have you forsaken me, to praising Him. So, I want you to hear Psalm 22 in the light of Jesus' finished work on the cross. Jesus declares, it's done. It's finished. And the result is praise for Him. Listen. I will proclaim your name to my brothers. I will praise you in the congregation. You who fear Yahweh, praise Him. All your descendants of Jacob, honor Him. All you descendants of Israel, revere Him. For He has not despised or detested the torment of the afflicted. He did not hide His face from him, but listened when he cried to him for help. I will give praise in the congregation because of you. I will fulfill my vows because those who fear you. The humble will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise Him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of the nations will bow down before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord. He rules over the nations. All who prosper on earth will eat and bow down. All those who go down to the dust will kneel before Him. Even the one who cannot preserve his life, their descendants will serve Him. The next generation will be told about the Lord. They will come and tell a people yet to be born about His righteousness and what He has done.